valuation, the last thing I wanted to mention is just the impact on availability of financing. So if you are a buyer looking at a target that is challenged from an ESG perspective, I think it's important to recognize that may limit your financing options to buy that business. That could increase the cost of capital for that acquisition, and so I think there's a valuation issue there as well.
Thanks, Rob. So Diego, in confirming true value of a business, obviously due diligence is pretty critical, right? And you really got to kind of open the business up and see what's there. From when we think about a deal where the parties have identified ESG considerations as being important to how the deal comes together, how the deal is executed, and post-closing integration, take us through the due diligence process. How does ESG impact the due diligence process from both the buyer and seller's perspective?
Absolutely. I think it's important to understand that the due diligence process itself, we're all, as M&A practitioners, very familiar with. There's going to be ESG factors that people take into account in connection with investing or with their supply chain diligence. But in the M&A context, it has to be a little bit more targeted. And one of the things that I think one of the overarching themes here is ESG is not just one thing. It can be, it covers a lot of different areas. There is no one ESG question. There is no one ESG rep that you can add into a purchase agreement. So when we're talking about taking into account ESG in your diligence process, there's not just one thing that we're looking at. We're looking at, and in a lot of cases, we're already looking at in the normal process, whether the company complies with laws, whether they meet the environmental requirements that are put out in whatever jurisdiction they're in. So I think one of the more important things is to understand that throughout that process, you really need to educate yourself on what if you're a buyer counsel, what they care about. Do they have ESG policies already in place? Do they have requirements on board diversity? Do they have environmental objectives that are out there that they're putting out? And as Rob mentioned earlier, a lot of this is targeted in the way or people think about it more as the strategic public buyers that already have these their disclosures, and they have these objectives that are clearly put out there what they're looking for. But a lot of the private equity sponsors nowadays too really care about it because their LPs care about it. And their LPs have their own reporting requirements and all of that. So there's the impetus to look into all of these different areas, and it's going to vary based on a lot of different factors. Whether, for example, the company that you're looking at is in multiple jurisdictions or just in one location, or it's in a jurisdiction where these laws are already in place and there's defined metrics. If you're buying a company in Europe, for example, as Jim-Jericho was talking about, they have established metrics, and you can easily look into whether they're complying with those. If you're buying a company in Latin America where those ESG metrics are not as prevalent, then it's harder in the sense that you can still, as part of your due diligence process, you still need to understand that the due diligence process itself is going to reflect in both your reps and warranties, on valuation, on post-closing indemnification, et cetera. So those have to be targeted to whatever it is that you're actually looking for. And again, the factors that are going to play into this are the type of transaction, for example. If you're doing a carve-out transaction or you're acquiring assets of a business where you're not necessarily bringing in the brand, for example, the reputational risks may not be as big of an issue as more of the financial aspects of it. But these things may still play through, and you need to look through it throughout your diligence process. Whether the target works in a particular industry that is highly regulated, maybe another area that you need to look into to determine whether these, just looking at those laws that they need to comply with or those standards that might be industry standards are enough. Part of this, some of this, and we have multiple examples of diligence questions through here that we can look at. But as discussed already, there's the three main buckets of areas that you're looking at: environmental, social, and governance. So for some of these areas, it's important to understand that you have, as M&A practitioners, we're going to be looking at these from a legal perspective. But some of these may require also to involve under third-party consultants. So for example, with environmental matters, there's things that you can have other consultants look out and confirm whether they're actually complying with laws or they're complying with these metrics.